I'm a guest speaker, but I just walked by my room, finished the Sunday school. It's very nice to have a morning service. We family come evening service often. Pastor Fisher preaching stories of Peter. Last week he preached Acts chapter 5, somewhere verse 20, 21. And providentially, I've been preaching Acts, and now we are in chapter 5. So I decided to just preach what I should do. Hopefully, it will be beneficial to everybody who attend this service. And on the behalf of members and friends of Covenant BP, members and friends, we are so thankful that Tacoma Church for your love and fellowship. And we're so thankful that we can call each other brothers and sisters in Christ, same God and same Spirit. So let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your love through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we can call you Father by your Son and by your Spirit. Father, please be with us. Please be with me and everybody in here so that we can listen your word with your Spirit. Please use this time to edify our understanding and life, and also be glory to your name only. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as a South Korean citizen and living in the United States, to work for the Church of Christ, my heart is always attached to country and the churches in two countries, South Korea and United States. Of course, we pray for any other people in the world for sure, though. And this morning, it was kind of hard to me not mention the coronavirus situation. So I'll speak very little. But to be clear for my point, I'd like to say this first to remind you, we are worshiping God, everlasting God, and He gives eternal life through Jesus Christ, those who believe in Him. So any disease, even death, cannot take our joy and peace from us if we are in Christ. Having said that, I'd like to mention coronavirus situation in South Korea. I just looked up the internet yesterday. In 2 months ago, there was no case in South Korea. The number-wise, there was zero. But now, it's about more than 7,000 cases in South Korea, the coronavirus. So there could be many reasons, and there is always God's sovereign plan. We understand that. But in humanly speaking, I like to focus on the current administration of South Korea. They are too close to China, I believe. So that's why they didn't close the border from the beginning. The China basically run by Communist Party. Because of their closeness, South Korean governments never closed the border despite 6 or 7 times of strong advices from doctors' association in South Korea. So their unwise and political decision of standing with China caused whole South Korea suffering now. This is 70th year of Korean War. The communists of North invaded South on Sunday morning, June 25, 1950. Was Sunday morning. The United States, along with the United Nations, helped South. Many soldiers died. And there's no Mr. Messler. Alex was here, helped the troops, and he was stationed in Suwon. And I was born in that city in 30 years later. So the Communist Party of China also sent countless soldiers to support North. So the war couldn't be finished. but to the Korean Peninsula was separated by two governments. How sad it is, there are so many Korean people have been suffering in North Korea because of the communists. And how sad it is, South Korea is now suffering for the virus situation because its government decision standing with China communist. The communism is materialism. It denies God. Communism cannot coexist any other religion. Communism fights against God. And North Korea and China, of course, are ones, the few countries remaining in communist country on the earth. Communism does not last long. It ends. It fails. It is unwise to stand with one that will disappear soon. It is unwise to stand with one that will lose finally. Having said this, I want to bring your attention to our scriptures. I mentioned that this whole situation in Korea and standing with the Communist Party, those ideas, because in this idea is very similar to what our text is speaking, I believe. So this morning, I'd like to mention three truths from the text. First one, God and His word last forever. And God and His word win always. And God and His word give us true joy. So first two parts, God and His word last forever. God and His word win always. We can find these two truths from Gamaliel's advice. And the last one, the God and His word give true joy. You can find these truths from apostles' daily life. So let's take a look. The first truth, God and His word last forever. In verse 34 and 35 and 33, there was a man named Gamaliel. Gamaliel was one of the famous teachers of the law in the time of Jesus. So verse 34 says, then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostle outside for a while. So verse 4 says, he was also a Pharisee. The Pharisees constitute a large and most important group in Israel at the time. According to Jewish historian Josephus said, their number is about 6,000. They were the developer of oral tradition in addition to the law in the Old Testament. They were also missionary, seeking the conversion of Gentiles. The Pharisees opposed Jesus because Jesus refused to accept their interpretation of the oral law. Jesus strongly rebuked them for their hypocrisy. Matthew 23:15 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." With this background knowledge about the Pharisee, the description of Gamaliel in today's text is noticeable. Because verse 34 says, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people. Gamaliel was a respected teacher of the law. In fact, he was a teacher of the Apostle Paul before he met Jesus. Verse 34 and 35 shows us the humble and wise character of Gamaliel, who were respected by all the people. Verse 34 again, Gamaliel commanded the high priest and Sadducees put the apostle outside for a while. I believe this is his humble gesture to the apostles. What is humbleness? Although we use same concept, same word, speaking in with people in the world, but I believe the humility, the concept from the Bible is different. When we say humble in worldly concept, is someone is humble even though someone is great. But I believe the true humility comes from the true knowledge of that there is none righteous, none before God. We can be truly humble even to a person who commits a great crime when we believe he still has the dignity of God. And we could be same person without the grace of God. Although he committed crime should be punished by the state of the law. So I believe with this true understanding, Gamaliel thoughtfully wanted the apostles out of the room for a while before they began a private meeting discussing sensitive matters for their sake. Then verse 35, Gamaliel gave a wise counsel to the Sanhedrin, and he said in verse 35, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding this man." Worldly wisdom can be independent from God. But the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. Praying God's guidance before our action is wisdom. Finding out God's way before moving forward is wisdom. Gamaliel brought people of Israel's attention to God so they could be wise before their action. In verse 36 and 37, Gamaliel gave two examples to the Sanhedrin why they should be careful. His main argument is that things that didn't come from God will disappear soon, but God and His word last forever. So let's take a look at verse 36. "For sometimes Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing." According to this verse, there was a man named Judas, claimed to be somebody. We don't know much, we don't have much information of him, but there is another person in the book of Acts who is described in a similar way. This is Simon the sorcerer in chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 says, "But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great." Simon practiced sorcery that made many people follow him. After him, the reason for practicing sorcery is to claim himself a great person. That is why many people believed in his words. It could be Judas claimed to be a great person with practicing some kind of great ability, like sorcery, so that about 400 people followed him. Not sure. But one thing for sure is about him, that he succeeded to make people believe his words. Verse 36 says, "He was slain, then all who obeyed him were scattered." Here the Greek word patho was used for English word obey. Patho means to persuade or to be persuaded of what is trustworthy. So about 400 people believed through the words are trustworthy. But once he died, all of them were scattered and became nothing. Gamaliel brought another similar example in verse 37. It says, after this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. We don't also have much information of Judas of Galilee, but Josephus again speaks of a certain Galilean who stirred up revolt to Romans because of their demanding subjection and taxes. His revolt failed, but it may have laid groundwork for the party of Zealot. So this Judas of Galilee might be one or similar one who stirred a revolt to Romans. He drew away many people after him. The same Greek word patho was used again in verse 37 for English word obey. The people thought Judas' words were trustworthy. So they followed him, but again, he was perished and the people were dispersed. So Gamaliel's message is simple. In verse 38, he says, for if this plan or this work is of man, it will come to nothing. So a Greek word boule was used for English word plan. It means will or counsel. So man's will or man's counsel or man's work or his followers will come to nothing at the end if it is not from God. It was Gamaliel's wise and godly counsel to Sanhedrin. And his suggestion is in verse 38, says, keep away from these men and let them alone. That was his suggestion. In another word, if it is from God, it will last, but if it's not from God, it will disappear. So no matter what you do against it. So God and his word last forever because he and his word are eternal. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God has no beginning. God has no end. So whenever your time in your history, whenever your time in human history, whenever you found God, he will last from then because he is eternal. 1 Peter 1, 24-25 says, because all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man as a flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. All God's covenant and promise don't fall away, but last forever. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is eternal. He is the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now let's talk about our second truth. God and his word win always. It is Gamaliel's second message to Sanhedrin. Verse 39. He said, but if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. No one can overcome God. No one can overthrow his word. However, there are always people who oppose God and his word. The high priest and the Sadducees were those. Verse 33. Let's go back to verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Let's take a look what message they just heard. Verse 29, the Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Verse 30, "God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree." Verse 31, "Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." What they just heard from Peter and the other apostles was gospel message, the word of God. And the reaction of high priest and the Sadducees to this word of God was furious. A Greek word, diaprio, is used for English word furious. It means to be cut to the quick. The apostles preaching about Israel's sin against God and his son Jesus Christ was painful to them. The truth about the resurrection of Jesus and his kingship very offended them. The necessity of repentance of Israel brought them anger. It was a different reaction from the Israelite in Acts chapter 2, after Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. His preaching ends in Acts chapter 2, 36, says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" A different Greek word, kathanousomai, is used for English phrase, were cut to the heart. It means be pierced or be stabbed. When God used his word of God by his Holy Spirit, cut one's heart, their reaction is repentance. When God used his living and powerful words as a sharp and two-edged sword to pierce one's heart, his reaction is repentance. That is how you and I desire to come worshiping God and listening that word of God, even though it sometimes pierces our heart for repentance. But without this effectual work of God, man's reaction is opposing. They oppose the word of God. The high priest and the Sadducees, they plotted to kill the apostles. No one can overcome God or overthrow his word, but there are always people who oppose God and his word. Gamaliel gives warning to them in verse 39, saying, "Lest you even be found to fight against God." His message is simple, simple truth. Just like Martin Luther's speech at the Diet of the Worm, it is neither safe nor wise to go against God and his word. Is neither safe nor wise. It is dangerous and foolish to fight against God, because God wins always. Nahum chapter 1 verse 6 says, "Who can stand before his indignation? And who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. No one can stand before God's judgment." The next verse is well known for comfort. Verse 7, now Nahum chapter 1. "The Lord is good, a strong hold in the days of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. God wins always. Those who trust in him will win as well. This promise of salvation was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John 16, verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Christ overcame the world, and those who are in him may have peace for that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Same chapter, verse 4 and 5, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" God wins always. The Son of God wins always. And those who are born of God and from God win always because of their faith in Jesus as Christ, the Son of God. Now, in some times, it seems that God is losing to the world. Sometimes God's word does not seem to win over human idea. It seems that people who believed in Jesus standing a losing side in the world. You may assume the Sanhedrin was convinced by Gamaliel's wise counsel, so the apostles were freed without any charge. However, verse 40 says, "And they agreed with him," Gamaliel, "and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go." Apostles were beaten, and they didn't get freedom to speak in the name of Jesus. It seems all failed. However, to find out who won after two fought, look at the state of mind after their fight. Who has gained joy? Who was satisfied? Who is happy now? Is that the one who were furious and who beaten the others? Or the ones who were unjustly beaten and gained no right of speech? It is the apostles who won the fight. God and his word and those who are in Jesus wins always. Lastly, in the daily lives of the released apostles, we find the third truth of today's sermon. It is God and his word give true joy. God and his word give us true joy regardless of circumstances. Verse 41. "So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." In this verse, there are two reasons why they are rejoicing. The first one is they were counted worthy by God. In the other word, they received God's approval. It is joyful when we find out our hard work for God is approved by him. It is because sometimes our works for God seems not working, seems losing, or seems meaningless sometimes. However, when time comes, God approves our hard works And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. This is true joy. And there's no more joy than that. The apostles are rejoicing because they found out they are obeying God rather than men. That was their true desire, to follow God's word. And another reason for their joy is their heavenly reward. Jesus said to them before in Matthew 5, verse 11 to 12, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophet who were before you. I believe the apostles remembered this. They suffered shame for Jesus' name. They rejoice for their great reward in heaven. If we suffer in any way, shame for Jesus' name, and expect our reward in this earth, we're not going to be happy. Because it is because our desire is not from God first, and neither Jesus promised the earthly reward. However, if we desire great reward, not small, but great reward in heaven, it is not earthly desire, but godly desire, which leads us to deny ourselves more and more for the sake of Jesus' name. So our daily lives will be changed with this godly desire. Let's take a look on our last verse today, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. The apostles daily and everywhere taught and preached that Jesus is the Christ. They were just beaten and threatened by their own state leaders. They didn't receive freedom of speech from their own government. But they didn't stop. What gives us joy and free truly? Our circumstances, our state, our government. And Jesus said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The apostles knew the truth that Jesus is the Christ. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So they lived daily life joyfully and freely, even under their unjust government and leaders and unsafe circumstances. In this morning, we took a look at three truths. God and His word last forever. God and His word win always, and God and His word give us true joy. And at the introduction, I used the situation in South Korea. I mentioned about South Korea government's unwise and dangerous standing too close to Communist Party of China. Communism will disappear and lose soon. It takes people's joy away. What about us? What about us as Christians living in the United States? If we pause our lives and look into our daily lives, we often find ourselves focusing on worldly things that will soon disappear, rather than heavenly things that last forever. We often find ourselves standing on the side of the world that will soon be corrupted, not standing on the side of God who wins always. There are also times when we substitute our true joy of God to false joy of the world. We learn and we know that we don't just naturally choose the humble and wise counsel of God. That is why we are so thankful for the work of salvation of Jesus Christ, who saved us from our sin. And that is why we rely on the work of God, who sanctifies us in daily life. Let us live for the eternal things that belong to God. Let us examine and reform our daily life to see if we are opposing God and His word. Let us rejoice always as we obey the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we so thank you that you accept us as your children by our faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, we thank you even for our faith is gift from you. Father, we thank you for the repentance and the desires is also gift from you. Father, we want to follow your word. So help us to walk with Christ every day and remember the three truths we just heard this morning and during this week and for our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.